I believe we are being sold a lie that we need to deteriorate over time. Anti-aging is in our face every day. People are afraid and ashamed of not being young. While aging is inescapable, I believe we can improve as we age. Join me, Belle Carter, as I go on a journey of self-optimization in all areas of life: mental, physical, emotional, financial, and spiritual. Let's get hacked as. Hello, hackers. Before we jump into this episode, I just want to let you know that this is actually a live video I did a couple of weeks ago, but I thought it was really good. It was really well received, and it just really tells a story of what happened at my last job and how come it ended and some of the things I learned along the way. And I just thought this is so, I thought it would land well with you guys. So in keeping of the spirit of hackers and self-improvement and getting better as we age, I felt like, you know, there were so many lessons in here that I really wanted to share with you guys too. So without further ado, here it is. I should have poured this before. That's my life. Hi everybody. I know I haven't done live video for a little while. Here I am. Back, don't worry. So today, I wanted to tell you about the last 6 months. I think I have been a little bit quiet on social media. Not really, but like on my stories, I'm there all the time. I show up all the time on my stories. But I haven't been doing that many live videos because so much has been happening. But also, so I just wanted to kind of catch you up. So today, I handed in my work keys, which was really sad. I was actually supposed to do it last night, but then in the rush of like saying goodbye to everyone and everyone trying to get to the bar, I just did it and I had just forgotten. I had to go in today to Centrelink and give in my work key card thingy. That was fine. Like, I just want to share with you. Okay, so let me start at the beginning, okay? It was March. I think it was March. One of my jobs shut down. We didn't know when it was going to start again. One stood down. I was like, thank God I have two jobs. And then a couple of days later, when we had just had a meeting with the CEO saying, we're not going to shut down, we're not going to close, guys, we're going to stay open as long as we can. A couple of days later, he then says, you've all been stood down. We all got a letter. We've all been stood down indefinitely and pending with no pay or anything like that. And we're like, holy crap, that is mental. And then probably the next day or two later, then ScoMo came out and talked about the JobKeeper, and then one of my jobs got onto that so quick and we got JobKeeper sorted so far. It was so good. A couple of my friends sent me a link to apply for this job, and I was just like, you know what, it's okay. I'm just gonna chill. I'm just gonna have JobKeeper. I'm gonna have a holiday. You know me, I work so much, I work so hard. So I'm like, this is all gonna blow over. But me, I didn't even think it was gonna come to Australia. That's how connected I am to those kinds of things. So then I didn't apply. I was like, no, it's gonna be, you know, it's alright. And then a wonderful friend of mine calls me one day. We're in the botanical gardens taking the kids for a walk, because that's what we ended up doing like every day. My sister-in-law and me, Sarah, who you see her kids on my everything all the time. So they were staying with me. They got stuck here. They moved up here from Tassie just at the end of February, just after I came back from the US. They were going to stay with me for 2 weeks while my brother gets a job and they find a place to live. And then lockdown happened. So there were 6 of us, 3 adults, 3 children in a 2-bedroom. If you've been over to my house, you know, madness. But it was absolutely wonderful. Anyways, so we're getting the kids out for our daily exercise in botanical gardens. I get a call from my friend, Belle, you need to apply for this job right now. And I'm just like, well, you know, I haven't. She's like, just do it, you know, apply for it now. I'm like, Sarah's already applied for it. She's like, okay, great. Anyway, so I went and then I ran home to apply for the job, applied for it, and then within minutes, we had interviews. Both Sarah and I had phone interviews. Within minutes, we were told, we got the job and we start in, I think it was a week or two. And when they told us about the job, they told us we had to have 7 days availability. We had to work every night and full days on Saturday, Sunday. So I was like, this is so hectic. What have we gotten ourselves into? Like, what? We could just stay home and we could just have jobs. Anyways. So I remember the night before we started there, and I was like, oh, you know, I'd become complacent, you guys, I won't lie to you, I'd become complacent, and I was like, I'm just used to this life of just hanging out at home with the kids, and then going to work. I mean, no, hang on, what am I talking about? I never went to it. I was used to this life of hanging out at home with the kids, playing around, and then going for a walk to the botanical gardens, get a coffee, something like this. It would become a new routine for me, and I loved it. And so when we were told we were starting work, a bit of me, I had to speak for myself, was a little bit sad. But then I had this real feeling, and I told Sarah, I'm like, Sarah, we're going here because we have to meet someone, or I know I have to meet someone here. And it was so interesting. Like the first few days, I was like, who am I supposed to be meeting here? And then one time, Sarah and I were doing a juice fast, and we were in the tea room, and we were talking, and a girl sitting down who I would never have picked it, and she was just like, oh yeah, I did a juice fast, blah, 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 and was talking, and I was like, oh my God. And I looked at Sarah, and I'm like, she's like us. And then... And then, full forward, kind of long story, I cornered her in the car park. Yes, I know, I'm so sorry. I cornered her in the car park, I got her information. Next thing you know, we're walking on the Esplanade. She tells me she needs a place to stay. I had just gotten a spare room because by that time it had been, we'd been at work for like 2 months or maybe even three, and Sarah was moving out with her family. So I had a room available, so she moved in. And she lent me a book. She lent me a book, and it's called Rise, Sister, Rise, and literally changed. It's like I've been waiting for this my whole life. Like, always the question, Belle, what are you doing with your life? What is this? What is that about? What's your purpose? I'm watching other people achieve things and do things with their life, and I'm like, but I'm not a shop girl. Like, I'm more than a shop girl, but that's what I do. Well, that's what I do for a job, you know? So I'm just like, what is this about, you know? So I got that book, and that changed my life. And not to mention, because I read that book, we created a circle of women who, you know, we do stuff, like we do magic and we do the full moon stuff. And I know it sounds a little bit new agey and hippie, but it's not. Like, you know me, it's not like that. But it's absolutely life altering. And we've been following the works of Florence Shou Wuxin. So my friend lent me the book that gave me the inspiration to create the magic circle. I invited this friend who I just made, Sarah, and my old school friend to come together, and we started a magic circle. And as the months have gone by, it has grown it has grown. And then one of the girls recently shared with us the works of Florence Shou Wuxin. And we have all been doing it in the last couple of weeks. And I tell you what, everything that we want, is coming to pass because of these affirmations, because of following these works. She has a book which you can go on YouTube, The Game of Life and How to Play It. And it will change, it will literally change your life. So another part of working for Centrelink that has been amazing. So we will put on first for Job Seeker. Can I have a sip? Thank you. So we'll put on first to help process all the Job Seeker claims, because you would have seen on the news all the people queuing outside of Centrelink. Like, it was so COVID safe, but like all the people just queuing, because overnight, I don't know the numbers of people, in the millions maybe, of people lost their jobs just overnight, just like that. So they needed help, and Centrelink needed help to be able to pay these people, and that's where we came in. And so we were doing that for a couple of months, but then it turned out that we just smashed it, and we did it way faster than what they thought. So we started doing some new work, and this was like, oh my God, I have never been so scared of doing something. We had to call people up. Hello, can you please apply for child support? Like, are you serious? Are you serious? Call them to apply for child support. What a touchy subject. What an absolutely touchy subject. And the training was very minimal on how, like, on the topic, yes, but on how to deal with a customer who's then burst into tears and starts telling me of the traumas of their life, how to deal with that? My God, there were some big like tear fests at work. Some people ended up quitting because it just messed with their mental health, and I understand that so much. And I felt like I was going to be that person. I took a night off work just hoping that we wouldn't get that work again tomorrow. But we actually kept it like for the last 4 months. And that has been like the biggest growth thing for me. Learning to talk to people on the phone and connect with them in a way that they feel safe to talk to me about something that is one of the most touchy things ever, and then get them to go then and make an application for child support. I feel like we all deserve a medal for doing that with minimal like training of like how to talk to people, you know, like how to calm them down. Like I had, look, don't get me wrong, some people are beyond help. They're just raving on the phone about. I have some stories, okay? I do have some stories. But last night was our last night, and that was an exceptional night. So I have been saying to myself, you know, what is my purpose? All of these things. And then yesterday, I just felt so called to start reading this book, which is Rebecca Campbell, who wrote Rise, Sister, Rise, who, if you remember back earlier in my story, I said that one of my friends lent that to me. So her second book called Light is the New Black. Oh, black. Light is the New Black. Black is the New Light. Yeah. I got that actually probably 2 months ago now, or a month ago, when my friend just came back to Cairns from Melbourne and had to quarantine. I bought us both a copy. But just this week, I've just been feeling like, Bella, it's time you start reading that book. So I sat down, and yesterday I read a chapter which talks about your purpose. And your purpose is not like what everyone thinks. Like, I have to hunt and find, and what brings me joy, and I should do this, and I'll try this, and I'll try this, and I'll try that. She said, your purpose is just being. Like, you say you love something and you do that. Your purpose is the thing that is the easiest to, that comes the most natural to you. You're just being yourself. Like, to me, I just love people. I just love believing the best in people. I love telling people that they are limitless, and we've barely even scratched the surface of what we are capable of as humans. I love that so much. So talking to people on the phone about child support has been the most rewarding thing. I have been able, with the help of social workers, to back pay people amounts of $10,000. Like, that is changing people's lives. Literally, that is life-changing money to increase their payments from like $300-ish dollars a fortnight to up to $700, and things like this. I mean, I'm not trying to say that it's because of me, but just being able to be used, it was amazing. So last night, this is very important. Last night, I had a customer, and look, at the beginning of the call, you just don't know what the heck you're gonna get when you make those calls. Who is gonna answer, if anyone answers? Who the heck is on the phone? What is their story? What is going on? This one lady has been having a horrific time, absolutely horrific time. Her little boy has been, he's been so ill, like very, very ill. Like, you know, when children have cancer and things like that, so ill. That's how ill he's been. The illness he has is not recognized in Australia, which is madness. So she has to look out to other countries like the US. Every time he gets tests done, they have to go to the US. Costs her $1,000 at a time. This is a single mom who is the sole carer of her little boy, because the father gives, who I'm calling her up to tell, hey, make a child support action, a child support application, hit the other parent up. She's like, I can't, he won't play ball. He just will not. We've had mediations. He just will not. I'm just on my own. And she's like, you just don't know how isolating it is to have a sick child. Like, nobody wants to know you. And I'm like, fucking hell. I can, this woman is a strong woman. And I'm just like, okay, now there's a couple of ways we can go about this. Now, we can try and get you an exemption, so you should be able to get an increase in payment. But honestly, I didn't know if that would work. I don't know if that would actually tick all the boxes. And as we went on, as we kept talking, and she was telling me a little bit more about herself and her situation, I realized this lady really needs support. She's really isolated. She's really lonely. She's having such a tough go of it. I'm going to just see if she's happy to have a social worker talk to her. And she was over the moon at that. She's like, look, even to just have a call from someone who actually cares, that will just change everything for me. Even if it's not about money, I'm just like, look, I don't know if they'll be able to give you more money, but perhaps what they'll be able to do is connect you with people in your community and help you not feel so lonely and isolated. Because people, that is the biggest fucking killer, is loneliness. That kills people. Sorry. That was unreal. So she said to me, I have been asking the universe for a sign and something to change. I've been asking for it. And I'm just like, Diane, it's me. It's me. I'm here. It's from the universe. I'm letting you know things are about to change for you in the biggest way. There is light at the end of the tunnel and things are turning around. And her little boy's just been able to get back to school. It's been a really dark couple of months and years, but he's just now going back to school. So I said to her, Diane, look, I have been asking the universe how I can be of service, what I can do. And then I have this call with you today, my very last shift. I feel like this is not a coincidence at all. No way. I don't believe in coincidences. You're a coincidence conspiracy theorist. If you put the coincidence theorist, maybe you could say that. Anyways. So then I said, look, Diane, this has got nothing to do with Centrelink. But what I want you to do is, have you heard of Florence Trebuchet? Can you go onto YouTube and can you look up the game of life and how to play it? And she's like, I'm writing this down. I'm like, this is gonna resonate with you. And let me tell you that my friends and I, we have been experimenting with this for the last few weeks. And we have all seen big shifts and changes. A friend of mine who I just sent the affirmations to because we were losing out, our jobs were ending, and she was like, shit. I sent her these affirmations. She messages me this week and she says, Belle, I have two interviews lined up for this week. Completely out of the blue. People, I can't make this shit up. Like, it's just it's just amazing. It's so amazing. And when you just trust it, that's the divine time, and that just makes you much more receptive. It makes you much more open. And that's the difference. So yeah, I was speaking to that lady and I couldn't believe it. I was blown away. I'm like, this is why I'm here. This is why I still have this last day with you. This is why I made this call tonight. This is even maybe why I had this job. Look, so many things had to connect. But I feel like this lady, her life is about to completely change. I don't have any way to contact her in the future. No idea. She lives in New South Wales. I can't even remember where, what town. But I am just so stoked to have even been having the opportunity to do this job, to connect with people. People are good. People are good. I'm so sick of seeing people bashing people online. Like, you sheep, wake up. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you for calling people sheep. Maybe sometimes I call people sheep. But I feel it's definitely not people's fault. I don't believe that at all. Humans are exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. This is kind of a roundabout way of what's been happening. And I just want to say to you, like, look up the game of life and how to play it, because it literally is a game. Have you seen Life is Beautiful? Have you seen it? That's a movie you should watch if you haven't. Because I'll just give you a little bit. It's about the Jews back in the war, and this man and his little boy were taken to a concentration camp. But the little boy couldn't speak German. So the dad makes the whole thing a game for his little boy. So the little boy was in a concentration camp. Yes, obviously things were weird and cooked. However, he got through it because his dad, all up here. Anyways, that proves that the life is a game and you get to decide how you're gonna play. And that's gonna decide on the end result, is how you play this game, how you show up, how you play. The amount of people I've met, the amount of lessons, and not just gonna meet them and that's it, the amount of connections, I feel I've made lifelong connections at this job. I'm so happy to have had the privilege to have been able to help fellow Australians get through this really difficult time. I feel like I'm in Foyle's war and I'm the girl who drives the car, because you know what, women had to step up and take on roles they didn't normally do, and the world changes from this, the world changed from that, The world changed when we all had to step up and take on roles that we'd never taken on before. There's no going back. Have you seen Downton Abbey when the war happens and the women have to start driving and doing things, being nurses? The world changed, and the world will change from this, and we get to decide whether it's going to be a positive change or a negative change. That's up to us. We get to make that call. So what call are you going to make? I, for one, I can't even describe to you the growth. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. I know this has been a long one. I know I've been gone for a while, but cheers. And here's to bigger and better. Here's to humanity being amazing. And here is to taking control of the game of life and sticking to the divine timeline and trusting that everything is going to be fucking unreal. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I hope you've learned a hack or two today. If you like what you're hearing, you know what to do. Like, subscribe, rate, comment, share, depending on where you're listening. If you have any questions for me or any of the guests you hear on the show, send them to hackedasradio.com for a chance to be featured. Remember, your best days don't need to be behind you.